In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, we read in verses 7 and 14, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." Then verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." There are two particular types of hearers which our Lord describes in this parable that become somewhat frightening to every sensitive believer. The reason for this is these two particular types of hearers show how far one may go in the experience of the Christian religion and still apostatize, that is, fall away and come short of the actual regenerating work of God the Holy Spirit. There is, first of all, the stony ground hearer. As we have already noted, the stony ground hearer is that type of hearer because of the layer of rock that undergirds a shallow top soil brings forth a plant rapidly once the seed has been sown. Only when the sun arises to wither and bring forth no fruit. The stony ground hearer represents that kind of believer who receives the word of God into his emotions and affections. Almost upon the first hearing of it, so that there is a great outward fanfare and show in their profession of faith. Only in a time of persecution and trial to renounce the word of God and fall away. The thorny ground hearer is one into which the seed falls and grows up simultaneously with thorns, so that in the process of the growing, the thorns choke out the seed, and it brings forth no fruit unto perfection. When our Lord says that it brings forth no fruit unto perfection, the implication is that there is some semblance of fruit bearing in the thorny ground hearer. As a matter of fact, the thorny ground hearer can possibly resemble a true believer, the good ground hearer, more so than the stony ground hearer. Because not only is the word received, but it grows. However, its growth is along with the growth of an alien matter, that of thorns, which choke it out. We are warned constantly in the Word of God to take heed how we hear. Over and again, our Lord says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Now, we know that a true believer, one that has been born of the Spirit of God into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, cannot fall away. He may have periods of backsliding, but they are not permanent, nor are they prolonged. And each time the true believer is brought to a repentance on the account of his waywardness and is renewed in his faith. On the other hand, there is the possibility of illumination short of regeneration. A person may be brought along in the Christian faith and taught the doctrines of the Word of God and make a profession of that faith without ever genuinely knowing Christ as his Savior. We find such in the parable of the virgins, wherein the foolish virgins paralleled the wise virgins in their experience, with the exception of having an extra flask of oil. As the wise virgins, so they had their lamps, and as the wise virgins, their lamps were lighted. And as the wise virgins, there was a period in which they slept. As the wise virgins, they're designated as virgins, which means that they were not contaminated with false doctrine. But when it came to the time of the judgment, there was no perseverance. For their request for oil from the wise virgins was made upon this ground, our lamp. Are burning out. Now they had oil in the lamps. They had a profession of faith, but they had no vessel in which was oil, or they had not been born of the Spirit of God into the kingdom of God. Peter notes the same possibility when he says in the second chapter of his second epistle, that there are many who are saved from the corruptions of the world by their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but who go back as the dog to its vomit and the sow to her wallowing. The significant thing to be noted there is that Peter is not speaking of sheep, but rather of dogs whose basic nature remains unchanged, only an enforced change brought about by their environment where they cannot follow their instincts. And the sows remain sows. And however dressed up and reformed and cleaned they may be for display, given the opportunity, following their nature, they go back to the wallowing. So the one true evidence of a child of God over and against anything that can be produced in a false believer is that of perseverance. He will always continue in the faith. He will never renounce the faith. The question may be raised, however, but do you believe that people who have come to a knowledge of the gospel can renounce it? I gave to you just a few weeks ago the example of a young man whose pastor called me with great concern because whereas he was the secretary of their missions program and the Bible teacher in their church, he called his pastor and said, "Take my name off the church roll. I'm never again going to church." And when it was inquired into, it was simply revealed that this man, who had been very faithful, not only to that church, but in attending Bible conferences wherever available and whenever possible, who had a good library of books and studied, came to the point in his life under the searching preaching of his pastor that he said to his pastor, "There's something in my heart I don't intend to give up. Therefore, rather than parting with it, I will give up the church, I will give up you, I will give up the gospel, I will renounce Christ." And this he did, showing himself to be an apostate who never did have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what that was in his heart, I don't know, neither does his pastor. It is something that he has not seen fit yet to reveal. Now when we come to the thorny ground here, we find that that which is his problem is basically three things. First of all, the cares of this life, secondly, the riches of this life, and thirdly, the pleasures of this life. Our Lord, in giving his own interpretation of the parable, defines the thorns which choke out the seed of the word as being the cares of this life, riches and pleasures. The cares of this life have reference to those anxieties which are usually experienced in a time of fear because of our diminishing funds and in fear that we shall not have a sufficiency for our future life. Riches have not only reference to the possession of riches, but rather to their love and the giving of one's time in pursuit of them. Then again, the pleasures of this life have reference to those things of life that eventually take the attention away from the Word of God. Last week we noted something of the nature of the thorny ground, in which we saw that from Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3, it lacks plowing and preparation. Now let me interject at this point, dear ones, that that which makes the difference in the ground is not its intrinsic value, but rather the decision and determination of the husbandman. Because it seems that all of these types of ground are found in the same field, plot, or area. As we noted in the first place, the byway simply had reference to those paths that are built in the fields and dividing fields for the workers to go and come with their tools and to give access to the fields. Any time seed falls here, of course, it becomes easy prey to the birds of the air who swoop down and eat it, or it is trodden underfoot so that it never takes root. In that same area can be the stony ground, in which the rock layer has never been broken up, and so the ground has never been prepared for planting. Another area of the field may be left to lack of preparation to grow up in thorns or whatever else may please to come up as the husbandman or the farmer concentrates his attention upon one area of the field, which is called the good ground, which receives its preparation and its fertilization, into which the seed is very carefully planted, and which brings forth fruit some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Therefore, it is the sovereign decision of the husbandman himself who passes over one area of the field to leave it alone while he tills and cares for another area. That which makes a difference in men is not any intrinsic value which we may find in their hearts. For all, without exception, and all alike have sinned and keep on coming short of the glory of God. Therefore, every man is depraved in the sight of God, and so under the wrath of God. No man by nature is deserving of the grace of God in salvation. And all man has a claim upon is God's justice in divine judgment. That which makes the difference is God's own sovereign good pleasure, wherein he chooses some to be the recipients of his grace, of his care, and so of the work of the Spirit of God, into whose hearts the good seed of the gospel is implanted, that brings forth a radical change in those persons and then brings about fruit bearing in evidence of that change in regeneration. Therefore, the thorny ground is simply that which has not been plowed, is left to grow as it pleases. In order to prepare thorny ground, the plow must go deep in order to reach the roots of every thorn and to root it up or it will always be a problem that is constantly growing. Today, I want us to notice why the cares of this world or of this life are likened unto thorns. The three things that a believer must be concerned about are these three matters. Our Lord does not mention gross sins that we would usually catalog and say this is that which destroys the believer. But rather, He lists that which is always an available temptation to every child of God, as well as to the thorny ground hearer. The anxieties over this life, riches, and the pleasures of life. Now, these, whereas a stony ground hearer must avoid persecution which will reveal his deceived heart, the thorny ground hearer is one who is a vulnerable prey to these three particular sins. Now, the cares of this world are likened unto thorns because as thorns have their rooting in the earth, and the earth, as it has not been prepared for sowing or unprepared ground, so the cares of this world have their rooting in the carnal hearts of men. For any person to be overcome with anxiety in this life is a person who has simply lost sight of the providence of God. He has ceased thinking about God's promises and has begun looking at the obstacles with which he is faced in life. Therefore, where there is no work of grace, however zealous one may hear the word of God, he will always give over to anxiety and cares respecting this life. Furthermore, thorns are likened unto the cares of this life because they're dens for serpents and receptacles for poisonous vines. In other words, let thorns or underbrush begin to grow in a place, and pretty soon you'll have poison ivy and poison oak, and it's a natural habitat for serpents of all sorts. So it is with the hearer who is over-concerned with the cares of this life in pursuit of riches and who is concerned for the pleasures of this world. It is this type of hearer that will be hurt with sin. Look at 1 Timothy. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Well, going back to verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." In other words, if a person is godly and he's content with his lot in life, he's a rich man. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now watch the warning. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In other words, those who have as their goal in life being rich rather than their goal being conformity to the image of Christ, godliness, obedience to the Word of God, and so on, Those who have as their goal in life riches will fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It is not only riches that have ruined many good persons, but the pursuit of them, making these the main objective in life. When a person has as his goal becoming rich, he becomes a compromiser. He will play any game, whether it's right or wrong, in order to advance himself. For the apostle goes on to point out in verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Now, he doesn't say money is the root of all evil. If a man can use money rightly, if it does not become a source of destruction, then it is not evil in itself. Sin does not reside in material things, but rather sin is an ethical relationship to the law of God. But it's the love of money. Let a person fall in love with money, let his whole thought be about money, and he will find that this love becomes the root of every evil. It lies behind every crime, basically, that is ever committed. So he goes on to say, "Which trial some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They are thorny ground hearers. They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So you see then the danger of the love of money, the cares of this life, and the pursuit of pleasures. In the fourth place, thorns and briars are compared to the cares of this life with the pursuit of riches and pleasures, because thorns are unprofitable things. Who is it that wants to grow a good crop of thorns and briars? The only thorns that people really will tolerate must be adorned with some beauty as can be found in a rose. Or if they're going after an edible berry that may grow on a thorn bush. But no one wants to grow thorns, and no one wants to reap a crop of briars and thistles. They are unprofitable. Therefore, this type of hearer, the thorny ground hearer, who hears the Word of God, receives the Word of God, but then allows the Word of God to be destroyed in its effect by their cares, their anxieties, their pursuit of riches and pleasures, prove to be totally unprofitable in the kingdom of God. Rather, they're only fit for burning. In the fifth place, our Lord likens thorns and briars to this type of sin because they will eventually, if left alone, cover over the ground and eat up the usefulness of it. There's hardly anything that can grow in the soil where thorns have taken it over. However strong and stout another plant may be, it cannot survive in the midst of thorns. Those hearers, those professors of the Christian faith, those members of the church who get taken up with cares of this life and in the pursuit of riches will soon find that the totality of their life has been permeated with these thoughts. And so the thoughts of riches, anxieties about the future, and the pursuit of pleasure will then begin to dominate the totality of the man, so that the Word of God cannot prosper. The Word of God cannot be productive. Furthermore, thorns may be compared to these sins of anxiety, pursuit of riches, and pleasures, because in the end they're cast into the fire. A man will either burn off his ground and so destroy them, or if they are rooted out, they are used for the burning. They cannot be permitted to grow if the soil is going to be useful. Therefore, these hearers, however zealous they may have been, are simply marked out eventually under the wrath of God for the burning. They will be cast into hell. They will hear the words of Christ, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, speaking in this vein, the Apostle Paul says in verse 8, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Now, Paul is talking there about people who have been carried far in their religious experience. They have been illuminated by the Spirit of God to see the truth of the gospel. They have tasted of the world to come. That is, the world, the reality of heaven is not merely conjecture. They have had some experience of its reality. And yet they fall away, crucifying for themselves the Son of God afresh, it being impossible to renew them unto repentance. They are reserved for the burning. Now, we're grateful for the change in pronouns there, because Paul goes on in the next few verses and says, "But we are persuaded better things of you, beloved." That is, that you are more than a thorny ground hearer. In the seventh place, our Lord compares thorns and briars to these particular besetting sins that destroy one's profession of the Christian faith, because thorns must be rooted out of the land if it is to be made good for other growth. It must be rooted out. I found all sorts of thorns and berry bushes growing along my fence, and so my other thorn, the roses, just wouldn't touch it. They were moving out in the other direction until I got down behind the fence and rooted out these thorns, and then they changed their direction and took to the fence. Thorns must be rooted out if anything else is to be grown. If a man is going to profit from the hearing of the Word of God, if he's going to hear the gospel to the saving of his soul, these besetting sins must be rooted out and mortified. Each time we as believers feel some anxiety over this life, or we feel the motion of lust for riches welling up within us, or we begin to look after the pleasures of this world more than the things of God, we must mortify these sins. We must root them out. We must not spare the knife, but cut them out of our lives. And then again, in the eighth place, our Lord compares thorns and briars to these sins because a man that lies down upon thorns cannot have any rest whatsoever. And any person who gives himself to the cares of this world or sets his heart on riches, or makes his goal in life pleasure, is a man who sleeps in a bed of thorns. He can never have any rest. He can never be at peace. Because as thorns, these things do not make a fitting bed. They only create more anxiety and therefore more cares in the heart. Now we want to note in the next place not only why our Lord compares thorns and briars to these sins, but the great danger of these thorns. Now, first of all, one's concern for the future in moderation is not evil. Our Lord does say, take no thought for tomorrow. But on the other hand, he says that a man who will not provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. So no man recklessly lives as if someone is going to set his table for him tomorrow. There must be plans. And plans must be made with reference to work and the future economy. So man makes plans for his survival. Again, innocent pleasures are not wrong. And so God does not forbid his people from pleasures. But an inordinate desire after pleasure, where nothing but pleasure is the goal of one's life, is an evil. If God gives riches, there is no evil in being rich. The sin is when that status becomes such a lust that it consumes the total person and his time to the extent that the Lord is soon forgotten. This means, then, that thorns are here used to show the danger even of lawful things. When we have an inordinate thoughtfulness about them and a love for them, that they can become dangerous to the soul. Even those things that God permits, that God allows, can become dangerous to the soul when we are inordinate in our usage of them. For example, consider these hearers, these thorny ground hearers. In the first place, they appear to be better than the stony ground hearers. That which characterizes the stony ground hearer is the word of God received into the affections or the emotions. But the heart remains hard. It's never really broken up. Therefore, it's not unusual when these people begin to fall away that they become severe critics and persecutors of the righteous. There are no greater enemies to the church than stony ground hearers who have lost their zeal for Christ and who fall away and become enemies to the people of God. Now, it doesn't appear that the thorny ground hearer ever becomes a persecutor. He just simply gets caught up in his own desires, in his own cares, so that he becomes more or less indifferent to his soul, indifferent to the Word of God. They appear to be better than the stony ground hearer, or else the Word of God could not, or the seed could not have grown to the extent that the thorns choked it out. It means then there was some growing, some fruit, but none brought to perfection. This kind of person then seems to be one that has received the Word of God into his heart. His heart has been to some extent broken. He's not so callous as is the stony ground hearer. Or else the word could not take root and grow sufficiently to be choked out by these cares. In the second place, this sort of hearer seems to avoid some of the sins that the stony ground hearer could fall into. such as that of becoming antagonistic to the Word of God, antagonistic to the ministers of God, and so eventually going out into a life of gross immorality. It seems that the thorny ground hearer simply overloves that which is lawful for him to use in the world. In the third place, that which is the root of the evil is the evil itself, which is described as the love of money, not the possession of it. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that covetousness is sin, and that covetousness is idolatry. Therefore, to covet after something inordinately is to set it up as an idol which we pursue. In conclusion, I want to share with you some words written by a Baptist minister who lived in the 1600s by the name of Benjamin Keach. He helped to draw up the London Confession of Faith, which is the basic confession we use in our church. Benjamin Keach said they may receive the word into their understanding in some measure, but their wills are never brought over to a full and hearty consent to love and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, or to receive the truth in the love of it. The Word of God hath no abiding in these, it is not hid in their hearts. The thorns sprung up and choked it. Note that not only unlawful things, but the abuse of lawful do shut men out of the kingdom of heaven. It is not only whoredom, adultery, drunkenness, swearing, murder, lying, or stealing that tends to choke the word, but the abuse of lawful profits, lawful cares, and lawful desires. The old world ate and drank, built and planted, married and were given in marriage. All these things were lawful, but they abused these things. What is more lawful than to purchase a farm, or a yoke of oxen, or to marry a wife? But if men will, in doing these things, refuse to come to Christ, or prefer it above a marriage with the Lord, the Lord saith, they shall never taste of my supper. You remember when the three persons were invited to come to Christ, one said that I have bought me a farm, and we ought not yet invested that farm, or investigated. I was a fool to begin with, to buy a farm without knowing what was there. And another one said that he had bought some oxen and had not had time to try them out. Who buys a car without first driving it? And another one said, I've married me a wife. Well, he might have had the better excuse. But he said, I've married me a wife, and I've got to go to her. Well, Keach goes on to say, eating and drinking is lawful. But when men feed without fear, or eat and drink to make provision for the flesh, it is not only unlawful, but a damning evil. To put on apparel decently to cover our nakedness is very lawful. For they that dress themselves in immodest apparel to tempt unto uncleanness, or strange and fantastical new attire that exposeth religion to reproach, such putting on of apparel is abominable, or when people can spare pounds to deck and adorn their body, and can hardly afford a poor child of God a shilling, or will have fine clothes and yet cannot pay their debts, it is hateful to God, or taken more care to adorn their bodies than their souls. What is more lawful than marriage? But when men marry the portion rather than the person, that is, they marry for money, he's saying in a polite way, Marry such that they like and never regard the divine precept in the Lord, and to please his wife casteth off his profession. Or when the husband or wife is more beloved than Jesus Christ, or the marriage bed becomes a snare or is defiled, it is abominable. Or when a man abuses his wife and makes her life uncomfortable to her, or takes no due care to provide either for wife or children. How is marriage, though a lawful thing, abused? What is more lawful than company or society with men? But when a man shall choose evil company and be a companion of drunkards, it is abominable. For what is more lawful than for a man to take care to get bread and to provide for his family, and in an honest way to keep or to get out of debt? But if men neglect the worship of God, or be in their shops when they should be in the church, or to get bread, will take unlawful courses, or to enrich themselves, pinch or grip the poor, or labor more for the meat that perishes, than for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, or when carking and distractful cares fill their heads and hearts, so that they forget God and take his name in vain, or steal, it is abominable. What is more lawful for a man than to follow his trade and employment? And if God bless him so that he grows rich, he may comfortably enjoy what he hath. But if he in trading overreaches his neighbors, that's a polite way of saying cheats them, rips them off, we'd say today, overreaches his neighbors and tells a company of lies, praising goods beyond what he ought, that is, false advertising, and knows of them, or minds his particular calling more than his general, or neglects the poor, and all acts of bounty, this lawful and necessary thing is abused. Or what is more lawful than a feast? But if men or women will eat and drink to excess, such feasts are abused. And so we see then how lawful matters can be turned into thorns and briars and choke out the Word of God, even those things which God allows us to use. Our Father, we thank Thee for the instruction we have in Thy Word in these very practical things. And each one of us here assembled knows how easy it is to be distracted with anxiety and to be overwrought with cares concerning this world, especially when times are so uncertain in the area of economics as we now face in this day of our judgment. And we know how easy it is to be caught up with the pleasures of this life, or to go out in the pursuit of riches so that our minds are totally preoccupied. But we pray that Thou wilt check us by Thy grace and then bring us to repentance when we become inordinate in these things, that Thy Word may always take root and may grow and bring forth fruit. We pray that Thou wilt warn those that are stony ground hearers of their plight, they may be brought to repentance on the account of their false profession before Thou dost send them out for the burning. And we pray that Thou wilt bring them to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ, in which Thy Word will be planted. And, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt keep us all, even we who have been brought to a saving knowledge of Christ, from that tendency to let thorns grow up. Because we know that even in the lives of believers, there are thorns that spring up now and then and need to be rooted out through mortification. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word to our hearts, that we might profit thereby. Our fellowship in the next hour, and then prepare our hearts for the afternoon service. Dismiss us in Thy love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.